Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mini PC Show, episode 5. If I'm not mistaken, I say that because I'm the most professional podcaster you're listening to right now. My name is Dorthor, geekandpodcast.com. I'm joined on this hallowed eve of evenings, which makes no sense to me, with Eric R. Dini from Dini Media. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good. Dor, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, only because I finally got out of my house after being pummeled by more than 2 feet of snow.
I warned you. I warned you.
You did. You were beyond right, sir. But the problem wasn't the snow, in reality, because we said we got 2 feet. Well, we didn't, because if you look next to my house, because of the wind, like 30-plus mile-an-hour gust, we got 1 inch of snow. But then if you look at my driveway, we got over 4 feet of snow.
At least it fell there, huh?
Yeah, sure. If that's it didn't make me feel any better. It was still, man, the neighbors felt such pity for me. After a day or more, they literally came over to my driveway and shoveled me out.
Oh. Nice. Hey, how did that new electric snowblower work in the 2 feet?
Funny you ask. I heard it worked great because my father-in-law gave it to somebody else.
Oh, man.
I heard it worked fantastic, but we're not going to go there. We're also joined in this episode by Brian. Brian, I feel like I got to say something else besides we're joined tonight by Brian.
You know, that's a very good question. I've been kind of pondering that myself, and I'm still thinking about that. Let me get back to you on that one.
Because it can be like level 6 Brian, because you know, you're a network engineer, or fiber Brian, or you know, but that fiber might be we're not gonna go there. How's everything going up in the greater Northeast?
Everything's going fantastic, Dor, and I feel your pain because I just got slammed with a ton of snow myself too. So not 2 feet, but enough to get up and shovel myself out, shovel my neighbors out, and then try to make it to work or make it to church, actually, because we didn't have work that morning.
Yeah, to me, it seems a little bit early in the year for this type of snow.
Yeah, no, I fully agree, and I think we all came down with a cold or something because I ended up getting sick over the weekend there, and I'm kind of recovering. So if I seem a little out of sorts and a little rough, that's because of the cold's been kicking my rear end.
Well, and this is why I like all of us podcasting from our own house. We don't have to worry about contamination.
That's right.
Very this is cool. Some kind of weird altered reality for me because I have no snow on my ground. And we had all our snow back in November. And we haven't really had much to speak of since then, really.
Well, with the Superman Batman movie coming out leading up to the beginning of the Justice League, I'm going to say you're in the Bizarro universe, Eric.
Okay, I'll take it.
And that's what I'm sticking with. The only announcement I have before this show is, after being one of the very first true, in my opinion, internet memes, Abe Vigoda has left this earth.
Yeah, I heard a couple of people talking about it, and they were pretty sure they heard that 5 years ago, and then 4 years ago. Yeah. They were pretty sure he wasn't still here. But
I don't know what you're talking about, Eric.
People ask him, and he, yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, back in the 70s, when he was on the show Barney Miller, he looked... Yeah. Like he was in his 70s.
right, he did.
So he made it a long way. He had a very long life. He was in everything from The Godfather to Snickers commercials. And he is now gone. Now, if you go to isabevigodadead.com, the answer is yes.
I did not know that.
I've never been there, but I guess I didn't need to check that badly. I just took everybody's word for it, which was false.
I just liked fish. That was his name on a couple of the shows. Okay, we definitely have some feedback. And this show, this series of shows, the Mini PC Show, we're going to make feedback a priority. So when we get emails, we're going to read them first. Eric, do you want to go ahead and take care of the first one?
Yeah, sure. The first one is from Jeff Hudson. Jeff says, I wanted to reach out and say that I really enjoy this new show. I'm a listener of the AAA show and appreciate the blend of real life stories along with the enlightening information about apps that I would never have discovered left to my own devices. I like that you say that you're going to be looking for these from the end user's perspective. Just wanted to say thanks for the show And I look forward to another podcast, adding another podcast to the lineup in Podcast Addict. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. And hey, there's a new podcast player to try out other than podcasts. You know, I've been pumping Podcast Addict for a long time, but we've actually, our friend from the AAA podcast has helped a developer work along with a new one that just got released in the Play Store called Castback. So if you want to try a new podcast player, and this one actually on Podnuts shows especially, but other shows I'm sure soon to come, you can leave feedback during the show that everybody else will be able to see, like make comments during the show, almost like a SoundCloud kind of thing does for music.
You know what's kind of funny, Eric, mm-hmm. is that you and I never talked about this, but I actually use Podcast Addict on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've loved it, and I tried to get the developer on the show a couple times. He's in, I believe, Italy. I don't want to get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's from Italy. And his English, he just didn't feel like was well enough, was quite good enough to be on a voice show with us. But oh yeah, I've been a longtime supporter of Podcast Addict.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, it's to me the one I love because it has easy mass export or import. Easy backup and restore, because when you change devices, you don't like going through that pain and suffering of not only OPML importing, but updating what is your progress on each of those feeds. Mm-hmm. But it's the only one that does all that and can easily handle 2.4, 2.7x speed increase and not start to act funky and skip and jitter and weird things happen. Yeah. Here's the thing. We on this network typically only talk about things from end user perspectives, unless we're talking about fixing computers, then we're talking about it from our technician per perspective. I like to believe, Jeff, one of the things that separates Podnuts is we don't try to be quote unquote Hollywood. We don't try to be like television or radio. We try to be real people talking to other real people and having real people listen to us and send us feedback. So I definitely thank you for that, Jeff.
Absolutely. Our next email, unless you guys have something else to follow up with Jeff's. Our next one is from Mark Rice. He says, "Hello all. This is such a great start to a new show. I'm still going through the links in both shows. It is very addicting to explore these mini PCs as it seems the options are endless and with a low barrier to entry. Have you seen the $9 chip PP? It's not in production yet, but can be pre-ordered." And he does give us the links to getchip.com/pages/chip to look at that one.
Yeah, I can say I am aware of this. I was aware of this at day one of launch of the Kickstarter, and only because they kept pushing the idea of the world's first $9 computer. And then shortly afterwards, a little kerfuffle came out where people said, "They're lying. It's not $9. It's $9 for you, the Kickstarter people. When this thing gets into production, it's going to be closer to $19 or something." To which I say, 9 to 19. While it is a 100% increase in price, it's still not that expensive, number one. Number two, honestly, I watched the new screensavers. Yes, I will admit that.
You watched?
Nice. I watched an episode of the new screensavers where they had the lead guy from this project on. After watching that, I backed this product because he is the guy who had another successful Kickstarter called the GIF Cam, GIF Cam camera. And it was literally a big, bulky camera that you would take around, hold the button down, and it would literally take like 3 seconds worth of pictures, I think it was, and automatically convert it into a GIF. And that's what he did. And he delivered on that product. Okay. So when I saw that and I learned that and I said that, he said his main reason for doing this is because the most expensive part about that project was getting the brains of that computer mass produced. So he said, "How about I make a cheap brains of a computer for everyone to use?" So he was scratching his own niche. And so I literally optioned for the pocket chip, which is the handheld, you can literally hang around your neck, LCD screen, gigantic BlackBerry-esque computer. And it was, I want to say the one I optioned for was $60 because it also came with a HDMI connector. And supposedly I'm going to get it in the earlier rounds of delivery. And Here was the other thing really quick that he mentioned on that screensavers that I thought was key and vital and showed knowledge and experience on his behalf. One of his first goals with this project was to get all of the base hardware nailed down to then make sure all of the drivers, all of the kernel level drivers for all of the hardware would be in the default Debian kernel, which means it's super easy for anybody to take a distribution and put it on the hardware and start to develop right away and not have to worry about Wi-Fi support, USB support, or any other support. It would all just quote unquote work out of the box. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, he already delivered on a successful Kickstarter. And to me, he's doing the right thing. He's trying to get the support of the community before promising on pipe dreams, if you will.
I love this thing. It looks cool. Do you have any idea what the pencil going through the bottom of the case is for?
The pencil going through the bottom of the case. I'm guessing you're talking about the pocket
chip. The pocket chip. Right below the keyboard, there's a four-way switch on the on the right.
Yeah. It's nothing more than just a hole in the bottom that if you stick a pencil through, it will turn it into a stand and the pocket chip will stand up.
Okay.
So that's literally what kind of, dare I say, hacking or hackery is going on with this project. It's literally guys who are trying to make their quote unquote little old dream come true with their own little personal fun computing device.
Yeah, that's cool. It's got IO ports or IO pins on the top and looks like you could lay across any kind of keyboard you wanted to on top of those switches.
Yeah, and it's a touch screen with it. I'm just really enamored by this project, and I really want to see it succeed. That's the real reason why I supported it.
Yeah, this makes the Internet of the Things come to fruition that much quicker. You know, I would love to see developers jump on this and build sensors all around this thing and get into places where people wouldn't think of putting devices, you know?
Yeah, and like, one of the reasons I like the idea of this was you open up the back of the pocket chip and you can take your IoT computer, plug it into the back of this thing, program right there on it, use the IO things at the top to test, take that same board out and just shove it in your piece of hardware, whether it's a water sensor, garage door opener or something else, and you're done. So you can program mobily with this pocket chip and just pull the chip right out of the back and just shove it in a device and there you go. Mobile development. That to me was kind of awesome.
Yeah, a device like this is going to be really a part of the toolbox for the technicians in the future when the Internet of Things is all around.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you can run Doom on it.
And there's that. Right, we've got this will be our last email today. Thanks for the emails, guys. Keep them coming. If something pops in your head while you're listening to the show, after you safely pull over to the side, send us an email. This is from 5150. You can judge the success of the Mini PC podcast because you are already costing me money. I want the high-stow PC for PF Sense, Snort, and Squid. I'm getting sick of my Nexus 7 locking up. So after hearing Dora talk, I was sold on the Giant Ultra tablet. I reconsidered when I saw it was $300, but the GPS sold me. Navigation on an 11-inch screen. Yeah, that's true. Thanks to Brian for mentioning Haystack. I've yet to put up a freestanding OTA antenna at the new house, but I can get every network show I want except news. I put Haystack on all my Android devices, but it doesn't work right on my Remix Mini. All I get is a video window and nothing plays when I hit the play button. Can I access the menu by selecting another mode? I'm sorry. I can access the menu, but selecting another mode changes nothing. Dor, can you confirm this on your Jide devices? Finally, Dor has me looking for a Game Boy Advance. At this rate, I'll be broke by this time next year. They are already sold out, but MakerShed has Raspberry Pi 2s for $20 today. I include the link in the unlikely event that they have more of this price before the next show. And that's at makershed.com/product/Raspberry Pi 2. And for the record, Pi's Model 2 version 1B Plus, version 1B, Remix Mini, Banana Pi Router, BeagleBone Black, thanks Door. I plan to buy an Odroid C1 and probably Banana Pi Pro to participate in FlyRich's crash plan cluster. Not requiring spousal approval has its advantages. Yeah, that's quite a list of devices he has, Door.
You've obviously
got a man after your own heart there, I think.
Yeah. Obviously 5150 has an addiction. I will say the Hysto PFSense Box 2, that got me so giddy. But our buddy Liam, if you go to the Google Plus community, he got a PCEngine.ch PFSense Box. It is a powerhouse for PFSense that he put together. He's playing with that. My Jide Remix, I love the fact that my Jide Remix Ultra, I just got the OS upgrade to Remix 2.0. I like it much better. I never tried navigation on it, but then again, I'd have to get spousal approval. And thanks for Brian for mentioning Haystack. I don't know which Haystack he's talking about, because unfortunately, when I type in Haystack and Android, I'm finding all kinds of stuff.
This is a TV tuner, isn't it?
Well, not a TV tuner. Haystack was the application that kind of pulls all of the news media clips into one viewable spot. So it'll just keep streaming news clip after news clip, and you can actually configure it to which topic of news that you want. You know, if you want technology and science, you could just get all technology and science. If you want, you know, political and local news, it'll stream whatever that's available online, political and local news, right through your device. I do it through my I'm losing my train of thought here. Through my television upstairs in the kitchen, using the Android app there, and
gotcha.
It works pretty good, and I enjoy it a lot.
Well, first 51, I'll say I clearly see the problem with Haystack. If you go to the Android market, Google Play, and look for Haystack TV, the video is from Android App Arena from Twit, so that's obviously what the problem is. I kid, of course. I will test this out, and I will report back. I do have both the Jide Remix Mini, which just went on sale 10% off on Amazon, and I have the Jide Remix Ultra, so I'll check it out on my Mini to be sure. And I will say this, it's funny that he mentions the Odroid C1, because I have a confession to make to you guys. We were in Google Plus, and the editor of the Odroid magazine pinged in on a conversation and said, you know, if you want to do HTPC, I really don't suggest a Raspberry Pi because it can become laggy with intense video. I really suggest the Odroid C1. And I'm thinking to myself, of course you suggest it. You're the Odroid magazine editor. And then I went and clicked the link. Okay, this is not the Odroid I had. See, last, I said I can't look at these websites for too long. Here's proof. I looked at it and I said, the Odroid C1 is a Raspberry Pi, basically sized computer, $35. It has a Cortex 1.5 quad core processor. That's good. Has a Mali 450 GPU, which is higher than most people have a 400, has a 1 gigabyte of SD RAM. That sounds good so far. A gigabit Ethernet, 40-pin GIO, eMMC. Okay, what that means, it has an actual slot to where you can get a hardware solid-state drive that gets maximum performance so you can clip onto it. So if you really need high performance, you can spend the extra like $10-$20 and get a physical SSD to clip on there, or you can use your micro SD card. Two USB ports, infrared port, Ubuntu 14.04 or KitKat can play on it. It was $35 for the Odroid and like $3 for the case. So to support the Odroid magazine, I keep convincing myself, guys, to support the Odroid magazine and hard kernel, I got myself an Odroid. It's shipped. It ain't here yet. But so I will get one. And what I will do is I do plan on sending it to one of you guys and just, you know, have fun with it.
Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds like it would be a fantastic video streaming player.
Well, I first almost questioned it. And then when I look at the specs, I said they're definitely higher than the Raspberry Pi. Now, that doesn't always equate to better performance, but it means if you have proper drivers, you can get much better performance. Richard, he mentioned Richard in the email also. Richard Hughes from Tilts, the Linux Link Tech Show, he made a banana pie distribution of Raspbian that already had crash plan configured on it. So if you want to make yourself a small NAS that can that you can back up off-site with other crash plan boxes, you can check that out. We do have it on Google Plus. It's basically all configured. You just burn the image, boot it up, enter your crash plan ID, and voila, you're backing up. So that was really awesome. Yeah, I'm really happy 50 doesn't live too close to me, because I'm pretty sure we would feed each other's addiction, and I don't know if it would end well.
That's cool.
Yes, and when I said to Eric, can you please read the first email, what I obviously meant was, Eric, can you please read all the emails? So thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And actually, I've got to jet out because I'm going to be packing and heading out, but I will talk to you guys this weekend, probably on Google Plus or a Voxer or something.
Roger, roger. Thank you, Eric, and please have safe travel.
Thank you. You too.
Take care, Eric.
All right, see you later.
Okay, Brian. We have our schema, and I don't know if I mentioned it here on the show, so I want to mention it. And if anyone's interested, I'll be happy to document it and show you. We have a schema set up to where whenever either of us or Eric sees a cool link, we can add it to our Git Pocket, which is a shareable bookmarking system. But then we have if this, then that, suck information out of our Pocket feed and shoves it into a Google Doc. So at showtime, we can easily glance over all of our links and see if there's anything that interests the other one here. We got a bunch of links. We got a whole lot of links on this show.
You know what I'm finding out is that we got more links than we have time to talk about.
Well, that, and I was afraid, well, you know, he's going to bookmark something and I'm going to bookmark something. Like 2/3 of these links are going to be the same links. We're just doing, no, virtually every link that I'm seeing is unique. So we're not overstepping each other. So that's a good sign, right? Mm. Okay. This one that I just found sexy. I'm okay with using the word sexy. I found this one to be sexy. It was on Lil Putin, and I think it's pronounced Voyo V3. Is a mini PC with an Atom X7. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I have no idea what an Atom X7 means, but it's an Atom processor, so it's not a, you know, i7 device. It is, and it has 4 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabyte of solid state storage, USB Type-C port, 2 USB 3.0 ports, USB 2.0 ports, micro SD card slot, HDMI, Bluetooth 4.0, 802.11 BGN Wi-Fi, and it's literally 5.5 inches by 5.5 inches by 0.4 inches. Oh, giddy giddy. This is a dangerous, dangerous computer. Now, my only hope is this is going to be like a $200 device. Because if it's too much less, you know, I'm going to want to get one.
This is a very, very sleek looking machine. And I was actually looking at this. This does support 4K video. And it supports 3 monitors, too, as well. I think it has integrated graphics. Looks like GT graphics. GeForce GT graphics that'll support 3 monitors.
Wow.
Discrete graphics.
Right, nice. And yet this is a Intel Atom X7 Cherry Trail quad core 1.6 gigahertz with turbo processor. Now I will say this: you made a comment in one of the Google Plus things about pirated versions of Windows. This, I believe, if it has Windows on it, which I'm pretty sure it does, is pirated Windows, because I want to say devices sold with 2 gigs of RAM or less was one of the ways you could get quote unquote free Windows with Bing on a device. But with 4 gigs of RAM and 128 gig hard drive, I find it hard to believe, if this is shipped with Windows, which I'm pretty sure is what I'm seeing, I don't know how this is quote unquote completely legal. Right now, you can buy it off of CNY for $212 and $235 with worldwide shipping. And GearBest.
Oh, wait GearBest. A second, Dora. I owe you an apology. I'm looking at the wrong device.
Oh.
I'm very sorry. I was looking at a different device that I had lined up that was right next to yours. I did see this one, and I did actually. You know what? I saw this in the Google post, Google Plus post they had posted a while back, and I wanted to mention that before, after you guys were doing the emails. When I first looked at the Google Plus community for the mini PC, there were like five people mm-hmm. that were in there. No, there's like over 106 people.
Really?
Yeah. I was really astonished by how many folks that we have that have joined up. I was like, this is really awesome.
I didn't really notice that. That kind of makes me, oh, Lord, you're right. 106 members. Wow.
That's pretty cool. Well, it's been a few days, you know?
Yeah.
So I was pretty pumped to see that. But I did make that post. I made that comment on your post there. I did see someone that reviewed Amigo PC, Amigo Pad device. Right. And sure enough, it came with a bootleg version of Windows. And they gave you instructions to actually get around the license key. And it's like,
oh, my Lord.
It's like, do you really want to do this?
No. Because here's the thing to me. Part of the logic of these devices is computer techs and independent computer entrepreneur people, the reason to look at these devices is so you can put them in a very small space to have easy and low cost kiosk type access kind of thing. You can't do that with pirated Microsoft. That is horrible. That will get you in trouble very quick. But yeah, this Voyo V3 mini PC, man, this thing. It's just so good looking to me. Thank God it's $200. That's all I gotta say.
I agree. I fully agree with you.
Yeah, but it's still getting bookmarked in my keep an eye on device. Okay, I did highlight that one. Yeah, one of the almost weird things I saw this week that almost made me want to say why would you do this? But then I thought, well, because you can. It was the, a 16 Raspberry Pi Zero cluster board looks like. Okay. I first wanted to say, why, what's the point, blah, 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 blah. But then I literally thought, wait a minute. A Pi Zero is supposed to be like this unbelievably cheap device. I want to say $5. Mm-hmm. Okay. $5. So 16 of them, $5. I'm not a genius. That's only $80 though. $80. And then the board itself, I think, was only expected to be like $20. It wasn't expensive. So for $20 plus $80 for $100, you could literally work on a small, dare I say, like Beowulf cluster of like computing to where you have really complex multi-threaded processes. That's actually pretty interesting. And honestly, could be really useful. So I'm actually pretty interested in this. I'm not getting one for myself, I can tell you that, but I could definitely see people buying this and putting it to really good use.
I have to agree with you. I actually thought of the same thing myself when I first started to see the Raspberry Pi come onto the scene. And, you know, I was seeing these projects with 40 Pis lined up in clusters of one another. And I'm thinking, geez, that's a really awesome idea. You know, they're so inexpensive that you can cluster these devices and, you know, share resources and you can have the supercomputer, you know, in a sense. But then I thought to myself, I'm like, well, that's going to take a lot of computing know-how and code to set that up. And, you know, I'm pretty good with hardware, but I'm not that good with software to make the operating system do exactly what I want it to do. So I think I'd have some time ahead of myself to get this working the way I want it to.
Right. Well, my logic is the only way this can really be successful is if they literally have a custom operating system software where all the complex configuration is done for you in the back end. You just add jobs or tasks to it and then it works. Or else, yes, it's going to be too limiting, too complex for just somebody to just pick up and start to use.
Right. No, I agree. I'd like to see what what university would put this to task.
Yeah, I could definitely see somebody hopping on it as a project. Very cool. Let me take a look here. Oh, man. Okay, this is the one thing that I saw. And this is the thing I had I felt very vexed over. That's the word I'm going to use. Very mixed emotions, very mixed feelings. And it was the Lilliputian one I did on January 25th. And it is the GPD plans to launch a gaming handheld PC with Windows 10 and a Cherry Trail CPU. Now, we just went over Cherry Trail 1.5, 1.6 quad-core processor. So you could probably get some light gaming on it. Mm-hmm. But it was the form factor and the look of the device. And then I found out this is nothing more than like a concept. This is a just what it might look like kind of thing. So that made me feel a little bit not as excited. I already own a GPD handheld Android gaming device, and I am really impressed by it. I've owned a couple of these handheld gaming devices, and this is the only one that has had zero software issues, zero lockup issues, zero overheating issues, and every game that I have loaded on it has worked, period. So I like what they're doing. I think they're on a good path. And to be honest, the hardware emulates DS hardware, but in some ways it's actually better than DS hardware. So then I look at this thing, and this thing is like a clamshell, open up, full keyboard, gamepad, dual joystick, at least 6 buttons, flip top, Windows 10 computer. Now, I really would like it if it would be installed with Linux, but the same token, then they're not going to get as many sales. So I don't want to give them an excuse or a reason, but I understand why it would come with Windows, because that would be the easiest way to sell these things. But what they look at, they're considering a device 5.5-inch, 1280 by 720 pixels, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of eMMC, internal hard drive, micro SD card reader, mini HDMI port, headset jack, Bluetooth Wi-Fi, a USB 3.0 port, a Type-C port, and a 6,000 milliamp battery.
Wow.
It could be wow, but this is all just, dare I say, pipe dreams at the moment. So it's a cool idea.
So you think this is vaporware?
I don't want to say vaporware. I think it could come to fruition, but I doubt it's going to look this good, because this looks really good. The specs, I'm sure, will change, because with all these specs, 4 gigs of RAM, Intel Atom processor, USB 3.0, USB Type-C, that would have to be close to like a $300 device. And if it is, for $300, I don't think it would sell, because it's too expensive.
Right. Now I'm looking at the keyboard here, and that's a really good idea. I am so tired of up, down, left, right, just to type in my name, and having a keyboard on here when you're gaming, just entering in data or looking up certain things, it just makes things so much easier. This device does look neat, looks very nice. I disagree on the Windows 10 thing. I'm seeing a lot of mini PCs that are preloaded with Windows on them. And I get that. I hear what you're saying as far as sales are concerned. But I think Android's big enough now where if you put Android on it, I think people will come to it,
Yeah. And to me, here's the reason why I can see Windows being on this. That has enough juice. It could actually run some Steam games. Okay. And, the full keyboard to be able to put your Steam password and stuff in, to me, is such a non-annoyance now, because you have a full keyboard.
Right.
And I know the Steam catalog is just, it's ever expanding. It's ridiculous how big it is. So I could see literally a younger person who doesn't really know or care about Linux buying this device, having Windows on it, and really being happy with it. And most of the mini PCs I see as well, you're absolutely right, come with Windows. And there's a reason for that, because it's what people are accustomed to. So I don't want to down it, even though I feel like I have this moral contract with Linus Torvald that he doesn't know about, that everything that doesn't come with Linux on it, I must insult. But I will hold back on that. Very cool. Yeah. So good looking. So good looking.
Yeah, this is very, very nice. And I would still buy it if it had Steam on it. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't too much, I would definitely entertain the offer. The one I want to talk about now is the one that from our buddy Liam Tidwell, which is the PCEngine.ch, which was a website mentioned on Security Now when he was talking about custom PFSense boxes. And if you go to the PFSense website, they only link to like one or two sites for hardware, and one of them is PCEngine.ch. This is similar to the hardware that he got. It's a nice mini ITX board.
This is a build your own firewall application.
RAM with it,
Apple's APU,
antennas with it, hard drive with it, everything he bought independently. And he said he was shocked at how basically easy and perfectly everything fit together.
Router in a box, in a sense.
One of the things that he had to do, and I'm guessing it's because the thing let him do it, he bought a motherboard that had four antennas on it, but the case only had two holes for antennas. So he literally pulled out a power drill and made two more holes so he could do his two different Wi-Fi networks, because he wanted to do one Wi-Fi network that was guest mode, and then one Wi-Fi network that was his independent private network. So he had to pull out a power drill. He got a box with 4 gigs of RAM in it, i5 processor in it. He went a little bit overboard for what you need for just your normal gateway router, but he literally wanted it to be a fun play device. And to be honest, I think it looks really good. In the end, it was around $200, but what he got was definitely, I think, well worth the money. Very good bang for the buck.
Absolutely. $200. No question about that.
Yeah, but I'm still like jealous that he got it. So I literally just begged him, please just let me know your experience with it. He's brand new to PFSense, never used it before. He installed it and he said it took him like 2 hours to figure out how to do the separate networks, to have the guest network and to have the other network. He then said he had to figure out how to do the VLANs in it to split up his network. He said, but he can see, and this was one of my dreams back when I was a technician, to have a small, affordable, powerful device to offer to manage networks to people. He said, I could see this as being the hub of a lot of people's security on their network. So he might start offering this as basically a service to his customers. And I can tell you, if he does and if he pitches it right, I think he will make a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the reason why PFSense is in business, you know? I think getting or repurposing your old PC in your house that you're no longer using is a great idea when you're looking for just understanding how networks work, or if you want to get something a little bit stronger as far as a firewall for your house without breaking the bank. That's pretty much what I ended up doing. And, but I gotta be honest, PFSense is not for the average person. You know, it does take a little while going through the manuals, going through the tutorials, and getting it set up and getting it running, which is doable. It is very doable. And it is far much better than your average off-the-shelf router that you'll spend $100+ for.
Right.
Yeah, keep that in mind. $100+ that you can probably use for free. So, you know, absolutely. But the key thing is size. You know, this show is the Mini PC Show. So I ended up repurposing an old tower that I had. So I have this huge tower sitting underneath my desk, and it's got a power supply on it for a PC that's running all the time. Draws a lot of power, you know, more than your average Linksys or Netgear switch or router is gonna draw. So having a device like this, where it's small, unique, runs on low power, I think it's ideal, you know, for a switch or a firewall.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. The world really is your oyster when you get this kind of thing, because if you want, you can set it as a powerful multimedia hub. You can set it as a small HTPC. You can set it as a small kiosk type thing for people to use, mm-hmm. hub, gateway, router. I mean, the list really goes on and on. From a security standpoint, though, when he said he was going to put multiple things on it, I'm like, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to isolate things and put it out.
Right.
And he's like, well, yeah, but this is just for me, so I don't care. I was like, oh, okay, well, then I guess that's okay. But I still felt like I couldn't, you know, support it, basically. Okay, one of the other things that I feel like I got to mention that caught my eye is one of those things that I just think is downright crazy. I booked it on January 26th. Turn $11 micro SD card reader into a Wi-Fi router.
I saw that link.
I know, to which I just said, what? What do you mean a router? So I literally almost didn't believe it. And it's $11. So I literally just need to go to Amazon or whatever, find this thing and just buy it and do it, because I almost can't believe this thing.
Yeah, this thing is incredible. Very, very tiny. I'm still kind of giggling and shaking my head. I'm like, what? So if I'm war driving, mm-hmm. I can just turn my own little hotspot and call it Xfinity Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, come on, everyone. Come and join my new network and learn a bunch of Mac addresses and watch all the traffic fly by. Right. People do this, folks.
Okay. Well, for the people out there, how would you define war driving?
Oh, so maybe I'm using the term a little loosely. So war driving would be driving around in your vehicle, and this is, you know, before handheld devices, of course, before you had your smartphones, before iPads and iOS devices. So you drive around your vehicle, you have your laptop open with your wireless card, looking for any open access points that might be available. If they were, that, hey, you get free wireless network. You know, you could check your email and so forth and so on. But that's not really a good idea, just because, you know, people do their banking on their own private networks, and what they should be doing is they should, you know, protect their wireless network with a strong authentication, with strong encryption, not using web encryption, not using the default encryption, changing the password, changing the username if possible. Just a little Wi-Fi hygiene goes a long way.
Yeah. And the real reason to do it is not to be damaging or illegal. It's just to know. It's just mapping out, well, on my way home from work, I see 245 access points. And back in the day, it was, and 240 of these were insecure. With the router name of Linksys, which probably meant the default username was admin and the default password was admin or something to that effect. So it was more almost an educational thing to do for fun. Now, if you wanted to, back in the day when data charges were ridiculous, you could then have your phone set up to where all the way to work, you would keep hopping on these different like Wi-Fi access points. So you could basically like stream or download stuff and not use your mobile data. But it used to literally require like a laptop on your passenger seat to really do this. So now you can use a Wi-Fi memory card, micro SD card reader to do this. This is one of those things I literally find is insane. And if you yourself is interested, on Amazon, it's called Zsun Wi-Fi memory card TF reader. We will have the link in the notes for sure. So if you're interested and you want to definitely just try this out to see if you can do it, it's only $16. Have fun. Just be legal is what I ask you.
Yes. Be very legal, because hopping onto someone else's network is, without their permission anyways, is not legal. So
right. Right. Now, I like this just because you can load OpenWRT on it, which means if I want, I can literally host multiple Wi-Fi access points on a really powerful device. But what it also means is I can probably hook this up directly to like an OTA cable and then a thumb drive, or like a powered hub and then a thumb drive, and offer this thing up as a Wi-Fi access point and either storage or access to the internet, or I mean all kinds of different things. Let your imagination take you on there, but you can turn it into your own Wi-Fi access point. So that is just, wow, kind of crazy. Yeah. So it's $15. So, wow, look at this, Kate. Update 2 on the Lilliputian site. Woot. If you don't know Woot, I'm very sorry. It's one of those other dangerous sites. January 26th, which I think was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Woot was selling a Buffalo WMR 300 Air Station travel router for only $15. So you could have a native router, Wi-Fi router, if you want for $15, or you can hack yourself. It depends on, you know, what you're trying to solve there.
I'm wondering what kind of hacking you can do with the Wi-Fi card reader there.
I'm sure you can, but you might have to wait for a Polish guy who did this one. You might have to wait for a Polish guy to get bored to hack it. Yeah. Yeah, $15. I mean, they're crazy, crazy, crazy cool stuff. Is there any other links that you...
Yes, I did want to mention the great big gorilla in the room here, the NVIDIA Shield Android TV. This box is by far an outstanding device. And why I say that is because if you just look at how sleek and nice and pretty this thing is, I'm not going to say sexy, I'm going to say pretty. Right. But they're giving away a free remote. Huh. NVIDIA is giving away a free remote with this device. Right now, they're selling for $199, $200. And if you've ever seen Android TV, it's pretty much like your Android platform. You have access to the Android App Store. You get all the Android games and so forth. Apps like Haystack, they were talking about before, which I stream to my Chromecast. This, you can do streaming right to the box. You can play Android games. You can play NVIDIA streaming games. You can play PC games streaming from your PC on your home network. It offers 4K video, so for 4K gaming. PlayStation 4 can't do that.
No.
Not at all. So, and this, what I thought was the best part about this one is that it has the Tegra X1 chip. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Chips. What does that mean? So this little box, this is like the first mobile chip that was able to push the boundaries of, was it 1 teraflops?
Yes.
So here you have a PS4, which does 1.8 teraflops. You have the Xbox One, which does about roughly the same. And they're selling for about, I don't know, $600, yeah. $500. I think the NVIDIA Shield has something going for them, you know?
Yeah, and the Tegra, okay, NVIDIA Tegra is a ridiculously graphic performance crafted processor. So this thing's going to be plugged into the wall. You ain't got to worry about battery, okay? You ain't worried about battery with this thing. The Tegra K1 is the newest of the newest of the Tegra processors, which is getting very high marks. And here's one of the reasons it's getting very high marks. If you go to shield.nvidia.com/store/android-tv, scroll down, click on full specs. This is not a misprint. This is not a typo. This is not fake. This is real. NVIDIA Tegra X1 processor with 256 core GPU and 3 gigs of RAM. 256 core GPU. The original Nexus 7 had a NVIDIA Tegra chip in it, and that had like 124, 128 core, and no one believed it. But I know when I played that thing, I could load full Grand Theft Auto on that thing on Android, and it ran like butter. It ran perfect. So there's no doubt you could load Portal on this thing, and your friends will think you're running it off of a full quote-unquote console. And $200, to me, that is unbelievably fair, because I can picture this device being a very fun to interact with mini home theater PC for well over a year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I like about the NVIDIA Shield is that by first and foremost, you can tell just by looking at it and talking about it, it's a game console. Mm-hmm. Its primary concern is gaming. But hey, just because it does gaming doesn't mean we can't do all these other cool stuff too. Look at the other stuff we can do. You have an open access to the Play Store. So, right. You know, if you can, you have HBO. Hey, you can stream HBO. You can stream Netflix. You can stream Hulu. You name it. I mean, this is, you know, I have the Xbox One, and I think it's okay. I think it does a really good job. But the kids have a good time with it. But I know if they had this compared to that, they would have a much better time.
Yes. You know, yeah.
Without breaking the bank too much.
Yeah, and to me, it's also one of the little things. Okay, this does do gaming. This also, correct me if I'm wrong, this can do what's called game streaming. So if you have your ridiculous powerhouse $2,000 computer downstairs, you can stream that game to this over your big screen TV and use your NVIDIA Shield gamepad. But they also, out of the box, comes pre-installed with Netflix, Plex, Google Play Music. So they're not trying to make it like an Amazon. This is our ecosystem. And that, to be honest, is a pleasant rarity from what I'm seeing by major companies. So I like the fact that they're doing that. It also has good, really good stuff like gigabit Ethernet, total of 500 gigabytes of internal space, but some of it is for the OS. So, you know, take that. You're still getting good support. I would love to see one of these things in action, but I'm also afraid to see one of these things in action. because of the processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 3 gigs on RAM on Android to me is the unbelievable sweet spot of performance. Mm-hmm. Every device I've seen with 3 gigs of RAM, it just flows. It just flicks and works kind of thing. I don't like the fact that the stand is $30, but that's a really minor gripe. But I think if I saw this thing in action, I would literally say to myself, you know, honey, wouldn't you like to watch Netflix in 4K something? It really is
pretty. You know, on the controller, it has a headphone jack that you can actually plug your headphones in for nighttime viewing. Isn't that nice?
That is. And I believe, does it have the voice mic in it? Because I see like a little image of a mic too, I believe. So you might be able to do voice searching right from your handheld, like a, dare I say, Roku-esque.
Nice.
So that's also cool. Yeah, this to me, yeah. I can't look at this either too much. But even if you want, if you're not the kind of online Amazon shopper, you can get this at Micro Center, Best Buy, GameStop. So if you want to go look at one yourself, feel it, touch it, giddy, and then buy it.
Get all happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other device that I wanted to talk about is, well, actually, I thought you were talking about it before when we first started the show. It was the, it's getting tripped up about what you were saying. It was actually the Asus. Let's see if I can find it here. Now I'm losing my spot.
Was it the Vivo Mini UN42 commercial?
Yes, sir, it was. Now, that looked pretty nice. There we go.
Let's see.
Now, that was the nice little box that allowed you to have three monitors
connected. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, this is a really nice form factor. And Asus, I don't know what they do, but they're one of the few companies to me that takes special attention to texture, like what does the surface of their device physically look like, mm-hmm. where it has a little bit of like gloss and sheen to it kind of thing.
Well, I have to fully agree with that. I fully agree.
Yeah. And this one, yeah, 5.15 inches sounds a lot like the other one. The only difference is this is thicker. This is taller.
Mm-hmm. It's got a fourth generation Core iProcessor.
Yeah.
Either Core i3 or Core i5. I don't think it's fanless. I think it does have some cooling, but it does run pretty quiet.
Well, you know, i5, I almost expect it to. So, you know, I'm very okay with that.
But you can mount this to the back of your monitor if you want, or you can, I would put this right on my entertainment center.
Yeah.
You know, just display it, because it doesn't look something that you'd want to hide in the background at all.
Right, and it's ultra low power, 6.95 watt. What? I know. That's what it says when I scroll down. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, and, it is.
And the reason why this is shelf worthy, in my opinion, it doesn't look like the front is covered with flashy blinky lights.
Oh, gosh. Can I tell you how much I can't stand that? I've had to cover things up or put a little black tape around it just to stop the lights from blinking and flashing.
Right. Well, yeah. And if you scroll further down, it says it's silent. So if it does have a fan, it's probably a big, big fan. One of the things I learned way back when building computers, the size of the fan is directly determined to the noise. The smaller the fan, the louder it is, which to me was super counterintuitive when I was younger. But it's the bigger the fan, the more air it can move with less spinning. So it's quieter. So, you know, when I thought about it, it kind of made sense. But yeah, the Vivo Mini makes a very low decibel. Like the average library has 30 dB of sound, they're saying, where the Vivo Mini with full load is only 26.3 dB. So even when it's full load, it's quieter than your average library noise.
So we talked before, I think it was the last show, about when you're buying mini PCs, that sometimes what you buy is what you get. You can't upgrade. When, you know, the best thing you could probably do is to fill that micro SD slot with as much storage as you can to give you that extra space. But this, this is another one of those boxes where you can have it with 2 gigs of RAM, or you can have it with 16 gigs of RAM. You know, DDL, that's DDL, DDR3L RAM.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's for low power. That's what the L is for.
Gotcha. Wow.
Let's see, we have two USB ports, USB 3.0 on the side. It's got two USB 3.0 on the back, along with your RJ45 HDMI 2.0 slot, and your has a display as well, too. This thing is awesome. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't want to say shocked at the specifications, because it's ASUS, and when I hear a name like that, I don't expect them to put out lower and hardware. I expect them to be, you know, respectable. And this is definitely respectable. Up to 16 gigs of RAM in a little teeny box like this, that alone tells you the quality of the motherboard, how I can go. Because if it's a really cheap motherboard, you can only go 4 or 8. So that's a definitely plus. 250, you can upgrade all the way up to a 256 gig mSATA SSD. The Intel HD graphics, I'm going to tell you right now, they've came a long way in what they can push through Intel graphics in the last like 2 years. So I'm actually okay with that. I love the fact that it's a gig NIC, what can't you stream?
You know, kind of thing. You know, we say HD graphics. I think this is the GeForce GT820, I believe. Was when I was doing a little research on this little bad boy. When I say that this is awesome and I really like it, I'm not really looking at it from a gaming standpoint. So I'm looking at it from a consumption device, right? You know, whether I can get some light work done with it, checking my emails, doing some surfing, streaming movies, you know, watching a lot of YouTube, watching a lot of Netflix, showing off the family videos, the family pictures. If I can do those things without it freezing up, locking up, causing me all kinds of problems, and it looks pretty, then this is the one, you know?
Yeah, this to me is a good travel computer. If you really want to just, like, if you're on the road a lot and go to hotels, hook it up to their monitor, this is a very good travel computer. A good spousal computer is what I'm going to say, where typically I like Chromebooks for that, but if they want a desktop-type experience, then you got to get them a more of a desktop type device. And the video power with the three monitors, this can be a really powerful consumption device is the way I put it. So while, yes, you can just use this to browse YouTube and Facebook, or, you know, open up Word documents and check them out, with three monitors in it, you could get pretty serious about what you're doing.
No, you can't. Matter of fact, I was watching someone playing Battlefield 3.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm not a gaming expert, so I'm not too sure how successful they were at doing that. It looked good to my eyes, but you know, I'm gonna date myself here, but I'm from the days of Donkey Kong and ColecoVision and all those cool games. So anything from now today looks pretty good compared to then.
Well, there ain't no shame in that. Everyone likes some. Everyone likes some. Donkey Kong. Very cool. Very cool.
Hey, did you see this? What is this? It's like a virtual hologram girl from the Gatebox.
Her?
Yeah. I didn't want to bring this up, but I was just looking at the picture, and I'm like, I have to ask him if he saw this in the lineup at all.
Okay, let me take a peek here. No, I did not. This is almost, I don't want to say creepy because that's just downright mean, but it's a Amazon, okay, just from glancing, this is what I'm going to guess. It's an Amazon Echo interactive house, center of the house device where you can talk to, and besides just hearing a voice back or responses back, you see a 3D hologram of what looks like a maybe Asian schoolgirl.
I think you hit it right on the head.
Well, who doesn't want an? I can't even say that with a straight face. I'm not going to say that. Interesting is what I'm going to say.
Yes, very interesting. You know, but when I was watching the video, I was a little disappointed because it looked as if anyone can just, you know, I'm not going to say project an image, but you can put an LCD panel or an OLED display on here and do what they're showing in the video here. You know, I'm thinking this little girl is going to twirl around and do a little dance for you or something, and that's not happening here. That's not happening at all. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. The graphics with her are definitely anime style. That should tell you something.
Right.
But they're not bad at all. I'm actually kind of impressed at how crisp it looks. It also looks like it was trying to be your personal assistant / some kind of hub for your house, because it does look like she can control the TV and maybe your coffee pot kind of thing. I don't know if I'm ready. See, I don't know if I'm ready. I think the word is anamorphic. I don't want my computer to have people-like aspects.
Right.
It creeps me out just a little, but I could see this kind of thing, honestly, being very desirable.
Yeah. I could see that scaring the kids, too.
Oh, yeah. So it's called Gatebox, Gatebox, Hologram Communication Robot. I think the word robot might be a little bit overused there, because it's just a, you know, computer.
Oh, did I mention this goes for $770,000 U.S. dollars?
Wait a minute. I gotta check my ears. Excuse me.
No, I'm just joking. No, I'm just reading that the company raised that much money.
And
recruiting engineers.
Well,
I just wanted to see your reaction.
Well, I will say, why it looks like a finely crafted device. I'm not sure it's that finely crafted. It'll be cool if they can do something popular, but what I'm seeing here, it is clearly a what looks like a Japanese TV commercial, obviously focused at a Japanese audience. I don't know. When I see this, I don't think American.
Right.
So it might turn out, you know, Americans love talking to Chinese anime girls in skirts and short hair with blue hair. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a cool concept. Right. I just thought it would look a little different and maybe behaved a little different.
Right. And the article title at cnxsoftware.com, cnx-software.com, is, I believe it's pronounced Vinclu Gatebox, is a IoT gateway using a hologram girl as the user interface. And I'll just say, the one thing that initially, you know, gave me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies is, The guy looks like he's sitting awfully close to it.
Yeah.
Like he's literally pulling the chair up. Like I could hear him scoot, scoot, scoot before he sits down and talks to the gate box. Alrighty. It's that there's a unique find there. Very cool. I got to mark that. I always got to remember to mark that, make sure it's there. I will say we have a whole bunch of stuff. I did buy an O-Droid. I am going to basically just load it up with just one of the things, just try it out, and then I want to ship it out to these guys to play with, kind of thing. If there is devices out there you think that we need to know about, please do not hesitate to let us know. There's plenty of stuff we do not know. There's plenty of stuff we miss. There's plenty of experiences that you guys have had that we have not had, whether it be you built yourself a gateway device, whether it is you built yourself a O-Droid water sensor to tell when the hot water heater's leaking or something. Don't hesitate to shoot us an email. I did make a slight change to podnuts.com to where now when you go there, you can click on contact and then you can click on individual shows and send emails directly to the shows. Or you can just send us an email at minipcshow@podnuts.com. We also, if you want to leave a voicemail, 707-6-PODNUT is the easiest way to do that. And like Eric said on the Castback app, we're going to enable the ability to do feedback right there in the app. So I will have the app loaded, and before every show, I will review the last episode and see if there's any new comments in there. Logic being, those comments will get priority on this show. Eric, I'm just going to mention one thing, one more thing off the notes. That completely skipped my brain, and I'm seeing it now again, and it looks interesting to me. I think it's $30. It's the Geeky Gadgets link. The link is entitled DIY Raspberry Pi SenseHat Weather Forecasting System. Okay, the SenseHat is one of those, to me, interesting things, because it's one of the boards you slap right on top of the Raspberry Pi. And what it does is it gives you a whole bunch of sensors. It gives you gyroscope. It gives you water in the air. I can't remember what it's called. Accelerometer, magnetometer, and it gives you a little LCD light up panel kind of thing. So it really can take a lot of projects and simplify them with this one hat. And I think it's only $30.
Wow.
Yeah. So this might be a very interesting. So for $60 total, you could have a thing in a pretty frame, right by your front door or right by your, bathroom sink. So when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, it can right there tell you what's today's weather forecast in a scrolling, LCD panel. So, you know, could be cool. I'm not going to say I'm going to buy one, but I will say it's only $30. So I might buy one. I don't know.
This is pretty nice.
Yeah. And why I love the Raspberry Pi, I really do. I think they're really cool devices, but unfortunately, every time I find a use for my Raspberry Pi, I then figure out that my Banana Pro can do it better. So they typically just sit here and do nothing. So I'd like to have something that is strictly made for the Raspberry Pi. The touch screen, I think, is only $30, and the SenseHat is only $30. So I might end up buying one of them just to play with, see how they are. But I thought this was pretty cool. I promise that's the last link I'm going to pull out of the bag. Okay. Is there any last second things you wanted to talk about, Brian?
I do want to thank everyone for listening. I think this is awesome, seeing all the folks joining the Google Plus community. And I want to join anyone that doesn't know about the Google Plus community to come on by and take a poke and see what we've got going on there as well, too, if you don't know about that. And just want to thank you for listening. I think it's really, really awesome. I'm pretty floored by it.
Yes, and there's over 16 links not brought up on this show.
I know.
That's how much stuff we bookmark. We might actually put out a text posting between shows of just the extra links, because we got to do something with these links, Brian. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I still want to do the Patreon. I know the show where I mentioned that I literally just released this less than 24 hours after we are recording right now. So I just want to make sure people know if you have ideas you would like to see done on the Patreon, you have to let me know. Imagination is not my strong suit. So yeah, just shoot us an email, minipcshow@podnos.com. I want to thank you, Brian, for coming out. Awesome, awesome show. This is really a lot of fun. And I want to make fun of Eric's last name, Arduino. Eric Arduino came out. I want to thank him. And he's not here, so I can make fun of his name. and I will talk to everyone. Last thing. I've had now three people this week alone want to be on this show. If you do want to be on this show, don't hesitate to contact me. We will have guests on the show. I just wanted to wait at least 4 or 5 episodes before we started having people on. But definitely, if you want to come on the show, let me know. We will hook up. We will figure out a date. We'll figure out a time, and we will do it. With that, I will talk to everyone next week.